This is CliffCentral.com.
Testing, testing 1, 2, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, everybody.
Hello, boys, and hello, girls, and hello, transgenders, and hello, everyone else on the spectrum.
Of course, we don't want to leave anyone out. Good morning, everybody.
Oh, hey now.
It's Thursday morning. Yes. I don't have anything really exciting ahead of me today, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to be enthusiastic about this Thursday. You never know what it could deliver.
Well, Gareth, it takes you to Friday.
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't even know what Friday's got in store.
Well, it takes you to Saturday.
There we go, Ben.
I am going to be in Nelspruit this weekend.
There we go.
That might end up being fun. I mean, it is a pretty place, you know?
Yeah, just watch out for the Black Mambas.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I read a really strange tweet that came out of nowhere this morning saying, Black Mambas are terrible. They attack cyclists in Nelspruit.
Oh, Jesus.
And for some reason, really? I laughed for about 5 minutes. It was the fact that I was barely awake, and secondly, it just sounded so obscure.
Really?
Yeah.
Did anybody ever think that the cyclists are the problem?
Well, obviously. Just the way it was worded.
You come to the right show.
Sheesh.
All right, I'm going to give free advice for the next 10 minutes. So if you have a problem or you need an objective point of view, I've decided I'm going to put on my my hat of solving problems this morning, and I'm available to you. If you've got a question, maybe you've got some kind of problem going on, mm-hmm. and you would like to sort out your problem, then you can come to me. I've decided to make myself available this morning. Isn't that nice? That's a bit of philanthropy for a Thursday.
Sure, okay. Wow.
And on the line, we've got Grace. Hello, Grace. Go ahead.
Hello. I would just like to say to you, I have a problem because I was in your country yesterday.
Yeah?
And was trying to get away, but there was no way for me to claim a diplomatic immunity.
Yeah? Why? What happened?
A tiny girl with an extension cable.
Oh. And how did that happen?
Oh, you know, you get furious.
Sorry, what?
You get furious.
Oh, okay, yes, of course.
And then when I attack her, then I tried to get away, but they would not let me because I was not here on a diplomatic mission. Even though I'm the wife of a very powerful man.
So what did you do?
I just went quiet for a little while, hoping no one would notice, but they noticed.
Oh, yes.
And then my husband had to fly into Watercliffe, and he landed there. Do you know the Gupta Airport?
Right.
And he landed there and pretended he was here on a diplomatic mission so that I could be part of his entourage and then I would be diplomatic immunity, you know?
Hang on. You're saying your husband, he's a head of state, right?
Well, we're not going to mention name.
No, I know. Yeah. But he's a head of state. So he came in here. He's 1,000 years old.
No, 95 years old.
Oh. Is 95?
Well, somewhere around there. What, do you want me to cut off his leg and count the rings?
All right, I get the basic idea. So he landed at Watercliffe so that he could cover for you, basically provide you with an excuse to be covered by diplomatic immunity. Because you weren't here on diplomatic business, but as soon as he arrived as a head of state, he just says you're part of his delegation and you can get away with, you know, not having to account for your alleged assault of this other woman.
Something like that.
So what do you need my help for?
Can I stay at your house until this whole thing blow over?
Whoa. Oh, sorry.
Mabali, are you? Do you have a spare room?
First lady.
And you don't mind being attacked by people with extension cables in your sleep?
No, first lady. The problem with
Who said I'm a first lady?
Sorry.
Don't make assumptions.
Okay, my mistake. It's just, you know, your 95-year-old husband lands on Waterkloof, says he's here on diplomatic business. I just put one and one together.
Okay, but
no, the thing is, where I live, you would hate where I live.
Why is that?
Well, because it's not accustomed to your level of luxury that you're used to. It's a very small two-bedroom, smolanyana place. It's not very big.
But nobody knows where it is.
I know, but I'm just thinking of your levels of comfort here. Maybe you can try.
I hear you have a dungeon.
Try with Ben. Try the next
day.
Okay,
hello, Ben.
Hi.
The next day, yours?
How many nights?
Three or four. Until we go back in the plane from Waterkloof.
Okay.
Now we have to make some excuse about why we are here.
What's your budget?
Oh. Got a lot of money.
Okay, well, what are we talking here?
How much you want?
Well, am I hiding you or am I just accommodating you? There's
a
difference.
I'm just going to stay. I need, of course, a few extra beds for the security detail.
See, that's the problem. I've only got one bed. So unless you can all get into a queen.
All of you, as in you, Miaz's, Daniela, and her.
That's my room. I've got a spare room.
I'm not 95 and unattractive.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, look, there's a queen going. But,
okay.
Are you allergic?
I take it.
Are you allergic to cats?
How much his deposit? Give me a bank details. I'll send you the deposit.
Okay, so it's 12,000 rand for the first night.
And a farm a piece of land in an undisclosed area.
That's okay. I have no intention of having that.
You don't want a farm?
No, because then I've got to maintain this.
What kind of an African are you if you don't want a farm?
Modern one.
Okay, sounds like we've got a deal.
Okay.
I'll make the transport today.
All right, so it's 12,000 rand for the first night, and then 73 for every night after.
73,000?
Well, yeah, it goes up in increments because
That's much cheaper than the place that my sons are staying here in Santon.
There you go then.
My night. Still very cheap. What? Okay, deal.
Why don't you stay with them?
Thank you for solving my problems, Garrett Cliffshaw.
All right, pleasure.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to go?
I hope she's aware that it's in rands, not Zim dollars, that she's making that EFT.
Why, you think I use Zim dollar? Currencies from other countries? No, I'm not an idiot. I use American dollars.
Oh, okay.
Why use a crappy currency when you can use a great one?
This is true.
Only the poor in other places use that kind of money. Bye-bye.
Sure. Oh.
Thank you. Well, you see, we solve problems.
Yeah.
Look at us.
What a way to start the show this morning, huh?
Yeah, true that.
What would you do if you found out that your dad is cheating? Would you tell your mom? There's another problem that's just come through on the WhatsApp line.
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
You know what? Oof.
I'm going to hand this one to my buddy, who's way more thoughtful than I am. Ta-da! Over to you, Mubs. There's the tough question of the morning.
Oh, no.
What do you do?
Are you an adult at this stage?
We need more
I would assume this is probably someone in their 20s.
Yeah, because
a lot of our listeners are young, but they're not babies. They understand the world.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I've always thought that children should never be roped into their parents' marriage and parents should never make their marriages any of their children's business. But, you know, things get muddled up. Things become gray very quickly.
I almost want to get back to that call from Grace.
I don't know. I have no idea.
It also depends on the relationship. I mean, have they been together for a long time? Is this like a third marriage that's not going so well?
Yeah, there's no straightforward answer to this one.
Obviously, there's no excuse for cheating. It's not great.
Well, look.
This is a reality of life, though.
You know, this is almost like that situation that I was talking about. Where I don't know how to deal with people I know who have been accused of beating their wives and girlfriends. And I mean, there's so many ways that you can react, you know. And I think the best way is to just shut up because it's really not my, it's none of my business. unless I'm in the area when physical activity like that takes place, and then I will do whatever is in my power to prevent it. I'm not going to let a man beat a woman in front of me. But if it's something that has happened in the past, it's probably none of my business. And if it's something that's going to happen in the future, I should be clear about the fact that I do not stand for that, and I won't tolerate people I know doing that. Mm. But if I'm not involved, like it's something that's been dealt with by the courts or whatever else, then it's really not my place to inject myself into that. That's what everybody's telling me.
What happens if it happens right before your eyes? Let's say all of you are in a social setting.
Yeah.
The guy that you know suddenly grabs the woman and he just starts pummeling into her.
Oh, no. Right. You better,
then you step in.
You better believe. I'm not a fighter. I've never been in a fight.
I'm 11, not a fighter.
But you better believe I'm going to get in there. Because that's just in every sinew of my body, I wouldn't be able to just stand around and watch that and go. I wouldn't be one of those guys who'd stand back and go, oh, what do I do now? I'd know, it's fight or flight, right? And I think I'd get in. I mean, Ben, would you?
Yeah, I think that's when instinct kicks in.
Mm. I think you just, even if it's a friend you really love, the guy in this case, and you think, this is one of my best mates, I'd knock him the hell out. I'd be like, you're out of line, dude. And then he can explain himself when he comes to. I mean, if I'm good enough at knocking him out. I have these dreams where I punch and punch, and I've never hit anyone. I really haven't. But I have these dreams where I punch and punch, and my punches are never hard enough.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's what I'm so scared of.
You have those dreams?
Yes.
Well, you're punching someone because they've done something horrible, but you can't knock them out. So in my dreams, I can't even get it right. But I would do what I could. And if I lost and I ended up getting hit, well, at least I'd be hit for a good purpose, you know? I don't see what kind of a man doesn't try to help a woman who's in that situation. Anyway, the point was, if your dad is cheating on your mom and you find out about it, I don't know that you should do anything or say anything. I'd go to my dad. I'd say to him, hey, you got some splaining to do. What do you want me to do, dad? Because I can go to mom. You want me to do that, or do you want to try and explain what you're doing? Because it's his, deal with him. He's the problem area. I'd get the whole family together except my mom. Like in our family, I'd get my brother and my sister, and I'd sit down with the two of them and my dad, and we'd say, all right, talk to us. What's happening here? And then if his explanation is no good, or if he's being a dick about it, then you go to mom. You say, hey, listen, it's time for you to get out of this situation.
Gareth, I know this is your morning of dispensing advice, but yes. I think with a lot of these tough situations, you've always got to remember that the tough decisions obviously is often the best one. So people were like, oh, well, I'll just...
The tough decision is normally often the best one.
Explain.
Ben. It's true, because take, for instance, in the whole spousal abuse thing, it's so easy to say, oh, well, you know, she probably provoked him. It's so much harder to go up to him and say, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Or really take him on physically, right?
That's what you would do?
No, but I'm saying two situations here. We've got spousal abuse and we've got cheating, right?
Mm-hmm.
The easy thing to do would be say, well, you know, obviously good reason why he's hitting her. That's the easy thing. You can sit back and go, well, that's how I've addressed it. Or you can confront him. With the cheating thing, you can go, oh, well, maybe they're out of love. Or you can say, like, what's going on here? The tough one is always the better one.
So you agree with me on both?
Completely.
Yeah.
And this is what we forget in life. It's like, well, it's not in my place. That's just copping out.
Yeah,
I'm not saying you're going to be a meddling person all the time, but when in doubt, the tougher decision will be the better one.
Look, I don't like meddling people, but I agree with you. If it's in your family or if it's happening in front of your eyes, you have to get involved. You can't duck that responsibility. Otherwise, you're just a weak, feeble, simpering person.
But, you know, sometimes the people that you're dealing with also have their own set of rules, which I find can be helpful in terms of, you know, when you need to make a difficult decision. So, for example, one of my friends had instituted a rule a long time ago, and she said, listen, unless you see my boyfriend slash husband cheating right in front of your eyes, don't come and tell me about rumors that, oh, you know, I heard that your boyfriend was at the club last night.
They're malicious people, yeah.
Yeah, so she said, unless you see it happening before your very eyes, that is when you come and tell me. If you hear rumors, if you as the girls are discussing it amongst yourselves because you think something is happening, she said, don't tell me about it.
Well, did you hear about this whole thing with Cyril Ramaphosa and his previous wife?
Yes.
So Julius And even Batabile Dlamini apparently made some snide remarks about how people in the executive have histories full of gender-based violence. So they're spreading rumors about Cyril and his former wife because he was married before Dr. Tsepo Motsepe to someone else. And she came out guns blazing yesterday and said, this is horse shit.
Mm.
She said, all these people who are talking about how Cyril used to hit me, it's complete nonsense. She said, he's never done that. He's a negotiator. He's not a fighter. And he's the kind of person who would never do that sort of thing. So the ex-wife is standing up for him. And that makes Julius and Batabile look rather silly, if you ask me. She said they're trying to score political points because he's running for president. And how dare they? And she called out of... She has made herself available for this. I mean, that to me is a case closed, right? It's just malicious, people spreading nonsense about a relationship when they're not in it. Anyway, here's a good one from Rusty. I have a problem to solve, Gareth. Please help me. I am addicted to the herb. I need some serious help. I don't know what to do. Should I smoke a morning joint or a morning bong?
Oh, okay.
Mubs, I'm again going to hand this over to you.
You know what?
I volunteered to help people and I'm just making it my belly's problem.
Yeah, this is a... So I've never actually smoked a bong.
Never?
I've never smoked weed through a bong.
Okay.
So I'd have zero experience in the bong
So world. You would say a joint?
No, not in the morning.
Well, he says you've got those two options.
But I mean, are you going into bong. Work?
Yeah.
No.
Rusty's about to operate heavy machinery.
Rusty, don't.
Rusty works at the airport. He lands the planes.
He's the air traffic controller.
Why are you getting high before work, though, Rusty? Why aren't you leaving it for the after hours? Oh, I don't know, hey?
Ashley says, I used to get those dreams, too, where I would punch with no effect or even shoot with no effect. Since my divorce, I don't have those dreams. That's interesting.
Ah.
Anushka says, guys, I was literally laughing out loud in the shops after work yesterday listening to your podcast on Diamond and Silk. Was up till late with their videos. I need a friend that echoes and hypes me all day, every day, like yes. Diamond and Silk do to each other.
Yes.
They do sound like sweet people. But of course, because they support Trump, they must be bad blacks, you know?
Hmm.
I'm a close friend to my best friend's girlfriend. Let me just think. I'm a close friend to my best friend's girlfriend, right?
Oh,
and he's cheating on her a lot. Oh. Been going on for years. Should I show her evidence?
Wait,
going on for years.
You see, again, the problem here is if the two of them manage to work out, you know, their situation, you're going to be the one left on the sidelines because then both of them are going to be...
They'll hate you, both of them.
Yeah, they're both going to take issue with you.
And then this is something that was retweeted by Justice Malala, who is still not here today for the burning platform. He has promised us he'll be back next week, but we have an excellent stand-in in the form of Polly van Wyk from the Daily Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be addressing all the issues in the burning platform brought to you by Nando's later on. But Justice retweeted this. First of all, the Minister of Police put up, and he's changed his profile picture or something to gender-based violence or something. It says, gender-based violence is never acceptable. This is now for Kile Mbalula. Gender-based violence is never acceptable. Tomorrow, with all our stakeholders, we will unite to craft a way forward. Aitlome against GBV.
Hmm.
So, babes,
Womzabalazo.
Naledi is her real name. She says, you lied about Grace on national TV. You were a no-show when Manana was supposed to be arrested. Fikile, you accept gender-based violence. And then Justice retweeted that, because that's how most of us are feeling.
Hmm.
What a smear on the face of the diplomatic community in South Africa and, well, not the diplomatic community, let's be direct. The Department of International Relations and Cooperation looked like morons with this whole Grace Mugabe thing because Clayson Moniela was on the TV the other day saying she's still in the country and has handed herself in. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't accept she does not have diplomatic immunity. Do you remember he said that?
I did. I heard it loud and clear.
Now they've had to reverse their whole story. And Bob's flying in and it's just a disaster.
Sounds similar to the story earlier.
And Fikile has got egg on his face too because Fikile has said all these things about women abuse and then he lets Manana get away with 2-3 days grace where, if you'll pardon the use of the word grace, where he doesn't make himself available to to go and account for himself in court. No charges were laid, and then eventually charges were laid, and then eventually he makes himself a bit. But I mean, Fikile says nothing. And this issue with Grace Mugabe, he said, oh no, she's turned herself in, which she clearly didn't do. These guys think they can lie to us. In 2017, you can't lie. The internet will out you. And Fikile, I'm afraid, credibility is really, really, really thin. It's wafer thin. You don't have a lot going for you in the credibility
stakes. That's still thick enough for politicians, Gareth.
Yeah. Morning, guys. I watched the latest leaked Game of Thrones. Oh, my God. Shit gets real and cold. Very cold crisis.
There's
been a leak.
Oh, that sounds like a White Walker spoiler.
Yeah. Well, it's not a spoiler. So I'm not going to spoil anything at this point because there might be people who are sure that we won't talk about Game of Thrones now, so we won't. All I can tell you is it's all over the internet that episode 6 is leaked.
Now, some people were saying yesterday, was it really leaked, though?
You mean,
or was
is this
some
a strategy?
Some kind of publicity stunt? I don't know. You know how people get. They start arguing amongst themselves and, no, you're wrong and I'm right and da-da-da-da-da. So it was just interesting hearing some different points of view yesterday on this latest leaked episode.
Yeah. We got a lot to talk about today, actually. I'd like to get into an issue around that white supremacist march that happened in Charlottesville, because I do not think people have gone deep enough into this, and it's something that we can't just wash away and we can't just throw into a rubbish bin. There's some serious stuff going on there, and I see, you know, movements online, and I see people talking about it all over, and I think it would be interesting to get into some of that. Maybe we'll have time later on in the show. But for now, it is time to check in on the news, or certainly five things you need to know to start your day. Mabali Maloy has got those down, and it's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They are the finest place if you want a nice thin crust pizza with a great topping. And believe me, you could be like Sia, where you don't eat animal products. You'd still find a pizza.
Anything much of that matter.
Sia who eats about five things in the menu of the longest list of things in the universe. I mean, take an order from him at a restaurant. You've wasted an hour of your life. And he can find things at Kolkata.
Yes, we'll still find something.
Ben likes a lot of interesting toppings. Mubs likes a lot of interesting toppings. I like my margarita with a little bit of chili, but hell, they make it better than anyone else.
Bacon is a standard topping on any pizza that I have.
We will get into this. I think we've all got to describe, like you would describe your perfect date, or you'd describe your perfect holiday.
I'm sure there's some sort of psychology behind that.
Well, whatever your perfect pizza is, you'll find it at Colcacchio's Pizzeria. Right now, the five things you need to know to start your day. Mubs, what do we got?
In case you missed it, we are right in the middle of a cold front that's gripped the country. It actually all started on Wednesday already. The Tulbagh Mountain in the Western Cape was blanketed in whiteness.
Oh, no.
Snow. As temperatures dropped significantly on Wednesday, flurries of snow were also spotted on the Matruisberg Mountain and in the Worcester area. Now, parts of the Eastern Cape as well as Sutherland also experienced chilly weather conditions. And by last night, early hours of this morning, the southerly winds had pushed northwards to Gauteng, Mpumalanga, the northwest, and KZN. So a great part of the country being gripped by this cold front at the moment. Oof. Just when we thought that, you know, because remember we'd opened that door for winter to leave.
Yeah.
And we were just getting ready to close it. And then she turned around and said, oh, sorry, I forgot my my glasses on the table.
You're like, get out of here.
So bitch. She came straight back
get
in.
Get out of here.
But, yeah, everything is expected, always expected to have settled down by the, you know, by tomorrow and heading
get
into
out
the
out
weekend.
Here, man. Shit, I'm saying. Get out here for real. I'm saying get out here for real.
I think this will be the last stretch, but you know, I I don't want to jinx right, so any of us.
Thanks very much. A cold front. There's some news for you for the weekend. All right.
All right. And then former Paralympian athlete Oscar Pistorius. When's the last time you heard from him?
Well, we spoke about him the other day because I don't know if anyone's talking about him. But what's the news?
Well, yesterday he was granted compassionate leave to attend the funeral of Joyce Becker, which is his late grandmother.
Oh.
So he was released for a couple of hours yesterday to join his family in bidding farewell to his grandmother. In case you didn't know, offenders have to apply for permission for compassionate leave to attend a funeral.
Right.
And that is exactly what Pistorius did. And according to the Department of Correctional Services spokesperson, he said, yep, he was back in prison by about 1:30 yesterday. Guys, you know that I thought that Oscar was out on parole. I thought that he was back at home in the manor at Uncle Arnold's.
No, you're confusing him with OJ.
Oh, okay. Oh, because yeah. When I saw this, I was like, what? He's still behind bars.
Yes.
I thought he was long out of jail already.
Oh, it's going to be a time. It's going to be a time, Mubs.
Yeah, so I don't know. So yesterday he got compassionate leave to go attend a family funeral, but was back behind bars by like 1:00 in the afternoon. And then, yes, you did mention this earlier,
imagine
Gareth.
How that feels. You get out and you get like a taste of freedom, but it's at a funeral, so it's not exactly like a fun event.
And obviously,
and then they put you in the paddy wagon and take you back.
Mm. And I wonder how many guards they send with you, because they're not going to just let you go out by yourself, right? Like you're going to be accompanied by someone. And are you handcuffed the entire time?
No.
Are you shackled?
It's not fun.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
So Esther Mahlangu's uniquely South African-flavored BMW series is back in the country.
I saw that. She's like done beadwork all over it, right?
Yes. The 82-year-old South African Ndebele artist was the first woman to create artwork on a BMW sedan. She turned it into a unique art. And what happened was that her art went on display in London last year, back in 2016. But what has happened now is that the exhibition has made a comeback into South Africa. So, you know, well done to the 82-year-old artist. It's a good story. It's
That's
a feel-good
nice.
Story. And then Barack Obama has set a brand new Twitter record.
Oh, how?
Well, he officially overtook U.S. singer Ariana Grande.
I must piss Trump off. Can you imagine? You mean I'm not the most popular tweeter of all time?
No, not at the moment. But you know, the thing with Twitter is that it could change within a matter of hours.
Yeah. Yeah. What about The Rock?
What about The Rock, Ben? What do you know that I don't?
Well, he's like on ballers. He's got biceps. He's got a tattoo.
So what is Barack's record?
Barack has overtaken U.S. singer Ariana Grande with the world's most liked tweet in Twitter history.
Huh.
It has been liked almost 3 million times since it was posted 3 days ago.
Now, you know they say on Twitter, it's not about how many followers you've got. It's about how much engagement there is.
Right? I reckon it also has a lot to do with timing.
Yes.
Because it is in the wake of this Charlottesville racist attack that you want to, you know, discuss more in depth later, Gareth. So Obama tweeted a picture of him looking at 3 children. And these 3 little munchkins are from 3 different racial backgrounds.
Oh.
And what he did was he took a Nelson Mandela quote beneath the picture from his autobiography, saying that no one is born hating another person because of the color of their skin, background, or religion. So, you know, I don't know, whoever is responsible for Twitter analytics.
And he's right, and so was Madiba. It's just your douchey parents that fill your head with that crap. Or worse, someone who you meet in your childhood or your early adulthood. And they poison you and they turn you into a racist.
Yeah, so the guys at Twitter Analytics obviously paying attention to this. So, you know, through this, Obama has set a new world record.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, you know, wait for someone to, I don't know, either say something mean or take their clothes off again. And then Obama's record will be overthrown.
We're just one Selena Gomez music video away from that being broken.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep, that's it, Gareth.
That's the news for you this morning, all the things you need to know. Let's get to Ben and see what the things you are required to know in sport are likely to be today. Ben, over to you.
Well, today will be the day we see the BOC team announced. It'll be around 2:00 South African time.
How many of these teams are they announced this year? It seems like this thing happens every 2 weeks.
Well, no, Gareth, it happens before they play a match. It's standard procedure,
so
really.
Every week.
Well, no.
Sorry.
Again, I asked the question. Has anyone ever listened to me?
No. It just feels like just the other day there was another team announcement. Do you remember? It does. It feels like we were talking about this very thing just a few weeks ago.
Well, see, before a series, they announced the squad. Now, these are the guys in the mix. These are the guys who are going to take part in a tournament or a series against the country. And then when it comes to Thursday, before game day, then you get the actual team. Now, that is what, Barack Obama's tweet aside, gets a frenzy on Twitter.
Okay.
Because people go, oh, that looks kak, or why isn't this guy playing?
Right.
So we'll see that across Twitter Thursday. Today.
Okay.
2 o'clock South African time. No real big sort of surprises expected from this team. Of course, Warren Whiteley will not be there. He's still out. Well, he's out for the whole tournament, actually. So Ibanez Smith will be the captain. And, well, there could be a bit of a change in the loose trio. So that'll be the only real big change. The back line looks pretty predictable. And, well, as for the tight five, we'll went through that.
Oh, didn't we? Loose and tight, all in one.
Yep. That's it, buddy. Whoever can dominate the tight loose on Saturday against Argentina, well, this is going to be something to be spoken about. But we'll touch on that again tomorrow once I have the team in front of me. New Zealand have announced their team to play against Australia, where they're going to absolutely hammer these guys. Now, Australian rugby is very much like the Rand. It was once okay, and then, well, it just keeps getting worse and worse and has very little credibility in the rest of the world. So the All Blacks have decided to go with Damien McKenzie, despite the fact that he's about my size. And it's an interesting move because they've got such amazing big outside backs that can just change a game. But, you know, you've got to hand to Steve Hansen and the All Blacks. They always believe that skill beats everything. Whether you are a prop, whether you are a fullback, you have skills training throughout your rugby career, and they always bring it to the fore because that's how much belief they have in each other, which is really cool.
Uh-huh.
So Sonny Bill Williams, he comes back. He, of course, was banned after he attempted to murder a man in the field, Anthony Watson from the British and Irish Lions. So he teamed up with
Murder a man?
Well, yeah. Gareth, he ran in with his shoulder to the head area.
Wow.
Sonny Bill is not a small man. It was attempted murder. Okay, there wasn't a court trial, but I mean, he was banned for like 5 weeks or something. If you slow it down, it looks really malicious. So yeah, he'll partner up with Ryan Crotty in the centres, and then Ben Smith will play on the wing in order to have Damien McKenzie at the back there. It's a good side, it's the best side in the world, and it will beat the Wallabies by about 20 points at least. I won't even bother telling you who's in the Wallaby side. Basically, guys who couldn't make the All Black side, even if they jumped the ditch, as I say down there. Floyd Mayweather believes that the fights or hype contest, call it what you will, against Conor McGregor will make him an official billionaire. Forbes currently has his his net worth in the sort of 700 million.
Are you stumbling over numbers?
800,000. Yeah.
So he's in the 700s apparently, and pounds and I hate these articles.
You
that
really
pounds
have.
And
you need
dollars.
You need a lecture in numerology or numbers, numismatics.
Look, I don't mean this sounds Zimbabwe, but can we just use dollars? 700. All these things.
Listen properly.
All right, you get the basic idea.
Right, so you get the idea. He is about 300 and a bit shy of being a billionaire in boxing, right?
That's
all right. This fight will take him over that because he's going to make around $325 million. That's what he's going to make, all things considered, right? Now, Mayweather, call him what you want, and you're entitled to. He has been in the three biggest pay-per-view fights of all time. Because that's what he does. He's packaged himself. He's marketed himself. Yes, he beats women, but I mean, the guy, you can't take it away from the fact he is a marketing genius and he believes his own hype and he gets on with it and he makes money. But not only is he going to make money in the ring, he'll also make money in his strip club afterwards. He's so confident that he's going to win the fight. He's already scheduled an after party at his strip club called the Girl Collection, where he'll probably make around $300,000 in the night just because of people coming in, popping bottles and all that jazz.
But isn't he going to lose that $3,000 just as quickly when he starts, offering it to the dancers?
Well, I don't think he pays his own dancers. He threatens them with violence, and that's what keeps them in there.
Oh. Oh. Wow.
I think he only drops money on, like, I don't know, other women. So he says cash is king, and he's a human ATM. Well, everyone needs a certain kind of role model, I guess. Not my cup of tea, but hey, I'm just here reading the sport. So the Premiership of South Africa, the ABSA Premiership, the PSL, call it what you will, that starts this weekend. We'll get into that later tomorrow.
And in other football news, even though Ronaldo wasn't playing for Real Madrid last night, well, Real Madrid beat Barca again. 2-0 to go with a 3-1 win. And that is a 5-1 aggregate, so the Super Cup is there. So Real Madrid have already won two trophies, and other teams have barely kicked a ball. They won the Super Cup, this one, and they won that UEFA thingy where they beat Man United. So really great start for Real Madrid. Talking about cash is king, they are the team to beat because they have the most money. Gareth, that's pretty much it for your big sporting headlines. A full-on wrap or preview of the weekend tomorrow.
All right, not bad at all. Thank you, Ben. That's lots to chew on for now. Let's get to other stuff that we could chew on with Anthea Gardner and a look at our money, or that money which you wish you had. Yesterday was certainly an interesting day in the stock market, so let's find out exactly what she thinks of it. Here she is, Anthea Gardner, with her solo version of She Works Hard for the Money.
She works hard for the money. So hard for it, honey.
But that's not why we talk to her, just because she sings beautifully. We talk to her because she knows the stock markets. Anthea, what have you got for us today?
Good morning, Gareth. I've got great news.
Awesome. I mean,
the stock market overall was about 1% higher, all indices higher, Rand even slightly stronger at 13.18. Mm-hmm. But it really was all about one share yesterday, and that is Tencent. It's not even locally listed, which is funny. They reported an incredible set of numbers. It was just outstanding. The market was not expecting that. So, of course, Naspers reacted immediately, very positively. The share was up about 3%. I could talk about these Tencent numbers all day. Revenue was up 59%. So you know how this works when a company's new and they start generating revenue. You know, the changes are big. So to go from making 100 Rand in revenue to 200 Rand in revenue is not that difficult, because, and that's 100% change. But if you're making 1 billion Rand in revenue to go to 2 billion Rand in revenue, that's huge.
Uh-huh.
So the percentage changes are big. So the market was, the market was expecting a fairly big jump, but not this big. They made 56.6 billion renminbis for the year. So that's $8.5 billion. Operating profit was also up 68%. So kind of not just headline, but also if you dig into the numbers, they did report after Singaporean market closed yesterday, which was about 11 o'clock our time. Tencent is up, I see, another 3.5% today, this morning. And I think the interesting thing about this, and what you want to know, is how does this affect Naspers? And if you just take Naspers' market cap, the value of Naspers in totality, right, and Tencent is only one part of Naspers, the market cap is 1.3 trillion rand. But their stake in Tencent alone is valued closer to 1.8 trillion rand, which means there's a 500 million rand missing in action, or sorry, in investment speech, trading at a huge discount.
Right. So in other words, don't think of selling anytime soon.
Well, so this is the question. Why are investors discounting the South African share so much? I mean, think about it. The other Naspers operations, the ones that everyone knows, MTN, DSTV, SuperSport, Takealot, Media24, it's not like they're loss-making businesses. And in fact, DSTV is quite a nice little cash cow. And so the question is, are they discounting the other ventures? Because you know Naspers has loads of other investments. I think what will happen with the other investments is that they'll take a while to become profitable. But I can't see this being a logical reason for it to trade at such a huge discount. I mean, if this, so it's about 2,880 odd rand a share at the moment. It did touch 2,900 a share yesterday. If it doesn't get to 3,300 in the next couple of weeks or month or so, I'll be very disappointed. Just based on those numbers I gave you earlier on, the 10-cent stake, it actually makes Naspers a 3,500 share without the local operations.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even counting the local operations, which are, for all intents and purposes, the largest media assets in South Africa.
Indeed.
So, how can you just ignore them as if they don't exist when there are other media businesses that are trading on public listed platforms and are being valued for a considerable amount of money?
Yeah, exactly. in this case, not being valued fairly, I should say. I mean, there is a risk that Tencent could disappoint in the future. I mean, these are ridiculous numbers to try and repeat, right? And Tencent is now trading on a forward price earnings of about 33 times. Up year to date, Tencent shares up 70%. So, you know, we might see a bit of volatility, but it's ridiculous. I mean, you don't want to sell a share that is trading at such a huge discount, right?
No, hold on to it.
Exactly. There you go. So you made our investment decision for us this morning.
Hold
Thank
on
you.
To that stuff. Hold on to it until it's at well over 3,000 rand a share.
Indeed.
All right.
I mean, it's nice to see it growing into its earnings, quite
Absolutely.
Frankly. And then a couple of other companies reported. Italtile, the share was flat. They returned about 20% per annum over the last few years. But again, this is one of those locally exposed consumer stocks, you know, and so revenue was up 4%. Headline earnings per share was down 1.4%. It's a share that a lot of people love, including myself. In fact, I think you do as well, because you like the family that own it, right? The Ravazzottis.
Well, I just like their name, but you always told us that it's very hard to come by these shares.
That's the problem. Wow, you remember. You're very good. You do listen to me.
Yes, I do.
So yes, unfortunately, it's a very illiquid share. It's a good company, but the economics, the environment, the climate, it's just not in its favor at the moment. I mean, if you do have some, don't sell them, for heaven's sake. But just realize that tough times.
All right.
And then another share that seems to have fallen on tough times is Famous Brands. The share was down about 8% at one stage yesterday. Year to date, it's down 27%. Remember, this is Kevin Hedewick's old company. And they bought, what do they call it? The Gourmet Burger Kitchen, GBK, from the UK. Was it last year or the year before? And the excitement about getting offshore exposure and the revenue and the earnings accretion that it would bring to the company was all very exciting. And of course, Brexit happened. And so now they just are not making the earnings that they would hope for out of that company. I mean, like-for-like sales in pounds was down 2.6%, when in fact, I think we were looking, if I remember, we were looking for earnings accretion of like 15% or something. So that's just really not a good story. And funnily enough, the forward rating is still quite high at a 19 times. So the share hasn't been completely discounted. And I'm afraid in the short term, I think there's probably still a little bit more pain for Famous Brands coming their way anyway.
All right. Well, that's not good news for anybody, because, I mean, they own so many different outlets in terms of food.
Indeed, local brands, right?
Yeah,
local
correct.
Names. So, yeah.
All right.
And then I see U.S. indices were all higher last night, except for Amazon. The share traded about 0.5% lower. Did you see Trump's tweet? No. This man, somebody has got to stop him. He said that Amazon is causing...
He said, Amazon is doing great damage to tax-paying retailers. Towns, cities, and states throughout the U.S. being hurt. Many jobs being lost.
And his basis for that is?
Well, he hates Jeff Bezos. That's his basis for it.
I want to see the two of them in a boxing ring.
Well, Jeff Bezos will win, because he's not as fat and he's not as old and he's not as consumed by his own image. But at the same time, they come from such different political spectra. They come from such different positions on the political spectrum. And I think that Trump is now, he like everything in his life, he takes it personally. It's all about him. And Jeff Bezos is also an interfering pain in the backside, where he should really focus on his businesses. And he does, to his credit. But, you know, when you're president of the United States, things are a little different.
How different? Like, he's
well,
got too much power. You shouldn't be commenting on shares.
Like, yeah. Donald Trump must remember that he ceased being the head of the Trump Organization and started becoming a statesman. He's not a statesman in some people's opinion, but the leader of the free world in most people's opinion, and certainly the leader of America in another. Behave yourself, goddammit. Don't talk about individual shares.
And I think Trump's ego really has been hurt a bit, because a couple of big CEOs have resigned from his advisory board. You know,
yeah,
Musk did it.
That's right.
The CEO of Merck. There was another very famous one. I forget who it was now. But well, some big CEOs have left him.
It's embarrassing. And Donald Trump is suddenly finding that he's not the... he thought he would walk in here and be president of the company and be able to order people around and fire them. And that seems to be his modus operandi too. But he needs to understand there's more to it than that.
Mm. And too much ego, I'm afraid. Right. Anyway, yes, exactly. That's right. How I feel. Ugh.
Cool. All right, Antia.
All right, thanks, Gareth.
Thank you. Very good. Check in with you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. All right, it's time for Sia to give us some words of wisdom this morning. What do you have for us today?
Well, Gareth, you know, things aren't as bad as they seem because there's always help out there, no matter how big or small your problem is, especially in education. Boy knows we all need it. And it's so inspiring and encouraging to know that the face of education is changing around the world. So here are just a few new trends that are emerging in education the world over, right? So this I actually find so interesting and fascinating. There's this new organization called Charity Intergen that's based in England. And what they do and what they believe in is putting together the slightly older generation and the younger generation because they feel like there's a disconnect there. So with elderly people who just sit at home and are retired and don't do anything much, they get them to volunteer to look after little kids at preschools.
Oh, nice.
I find that so cool and like so like just awesome in so many ways. And you know, these old people, they love being active, they love being put to use, they love being able to tell their stories from the good old days in quotes. And here's an 8-year-old who says, well, it's so awesome to have like a second granddad who comes to visit me every afternoon. And I especially love it when they use silly words like golly. I mean, golly, that seems like an old city
golly.
Word.
Yeah.
I love that.
Is this guy 1,000 years old?
Basically.
Yeah. Well, golly gosh, goddamn.
In Texas, in America, they believe in positive education, and there's even been the likes of the International Positive Education Network that's been launched 2 years ago, and they believe in changing the way we see things there. And lo and behold, here in South Africa, I actually didn't even know about this, so it's like awesome to know about this as well. We are now focusing a lot on spiritual intelligence as well because
spiritual intelligence. Tell me more.
And Emily Larson has discovered that, you know, a degree will get you through the door for an interview, but now employers are starting to look at, well, are you mature, are you empathetic, are you passionate, and do you have emotional intelligence? So SQ is now the latest trend.
Spiritual intelligence.
Yeah, well, there's a school here in Johannesburg actually called the Maharishi Institute that believes in incorporating meditation into the school day for its pupils. So in doing that, they have 20 minutes in the morning, they have 20 minutes at the end of the school day as well, and they've seen the likes of a 25% increase on the students' school's marks overall, and also the school's control group, which is basically like the students you have to keep an eye on, yeah, has dropped by like 1% at this point so far. So look at that. Who knew that you'd be walking into your day and before you go to Afrikaans, you'll be meditating?
Yeah, imagine you say, listen, they've already scientifically proven that kids who grow up without religion are more compassionate than kids who grow up with it, which is an interesting statistic. When it comes to spirituality, who knows what that even means? I mean, everybody has a different idea of what that means. Some people tell you, you know, if they hang wind chimes in their garden, that they're spiritual. Some people will tell you they go into deep trances and see God. Who knows? But if it makes you a better person, it makes you less interfering and less annoying to be around, go for it.
But I like that, you know, as someone who sitting in a class and just looking down didn't work for me, really, if it does mean getting, you know, old Uncle Tom... You know,
Uncle Tom, careful of that.
Okay, well,
let's say
Uncle Jerry, who doesn't have anything to
do. Let's not say Uncle. Uncle brings with it all kinds of horrible connotations.
Okay, Grandpa Joe, who's retired and doesn't have anything to do.
And he can come in and give you some words of wisdom.
Exactly. All my teachers are now focused on, hey, is science really the best thing for you? Rather focus on, you know, your love for discovering maps and geography. But education is changing.
We had this really forward-thinking teacher when I was at primary school who brought in a different spiritual leader every week for about 3 months of the year on a, I don't know, Tuesday morning or whatever. And after assembly, we would spend the first class, about a 45-minute class or whatever it was, learning about that religion. So there would be an imam the one day, there'd be a rabbi the next day, there'd be a Catholic priest the next day, there'd be some kind of Sufi leader, then there'd be a Hindu leader. There'd be all these people, and we were exposed, and this is at the age of about 10, 11, to all these different religions. And she said to us, the teacher, you don't have to change the way you were raised, because obviously she was being careful to skirt around those parents who want to indoctrinate their children. She said, but you should know what the other religions of the world are.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you should also know that there are people who are not religious.
Opens up your mind, really.
And I thought, you know, that's a good age to introduce that stuff to kids. I thought that was really forward thinking of her.
Well, we like that.
And I hope she's, you know, so if she stopped teaching, that at least someone has followed in her wake. Because that was cool to be exposed to all this stuff when you're little.
I wouldn't be surprised if she was working at the Maharaji Institute now.
I would be delighted if she was.
Imagine that.
I think it's so awful that people, some people, are kept in the blinkered tunnel of their own family's decision for them to be religion A, B, C, or D, and that they don't expose themselves to other schools, other teachings, other kinds of spirituality or religion, or the absence of, until they're much older, because by then you're an adult and that stuff's already sunk in deep, you know, and it colors and it biases you in so many ways. I was really, Mrs. Wright, I got to thank you for what you did for us at primary school, exposing us to all those different people.
Yeah, I can't see any harm in that, because what tends to happen a lot in families is the religion that your parents teach you, you know, is placed above all others. And in some instances, you know, bad things will be said about a religion that somebody else doesn't understand, and then you end up poisoning your kids against other religions, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah.
It doesn't seem right.
Above and beyond religion, it's now this focus of just making kids being fine, you know?
What?
Being empathetic, you know, being caring, showing
that
off, you know?
Well,
that, for me, is the big one.
You can't really teach empathy, I'm afraid. There are just... that you can't am I right?
Well, don't children learn those kinds of things from observing behaviors of the people around them? So if you're not an empathetic person...
It's probably because you were raised like that.
Well, I'm just asking the question is...
Well, that's what I want to know. I maybe I'm wrong.
When people see, or when children see caring people around them, is that not how they pick up how to be empathetic?
You know, but I think if, for example, the school creates that environment where you spend 8 hours of your day, where there's this conscious, you know, direction to be nice and to go out of your way.
At this point in this country, I'd like them to be able to count and read and write.
Yeah.
And we can worry about that other stuff later on. It's almost like you're turning Maslow's hierarchy upside down.
Yeah.
Let's first learn to count, which we can't do. And then we'll worry about our spirituality.
But I would have liked to meditate for 20 minutes while I was at school.
I would have just fallen asleep. I've tried this meditation thing. It just puts me to sleep. I can't stay conscious. I can't do it. You know, I said I was going to try, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm an idiot. I can't do it. All right. When we come back, we'll have Polly van Wyk from the Daily Maverick. She'll fill us in on some of the big stories of the day in the Burning Platform. And we're going to check in on Jane, who has some very strong words for Grace Mugabe. You know, Jane, who works here at cliffcentral.com.
Ooh.
Very strong, fighting words for Grace Mugabe from Jane. So all of that and more on the way, cliffcentral.com. On a Thursday morning, I hope you're having a good start to your day today. We are going to look after you all the way until 9.
1, 2, 3, go.
This is cliffcentral.com.